Good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning. And happy Mother's Day to all of you who should receive that. Not all of you. I keep wishing that to men as well as they walk by. I don't mean to, but just a special day for us to get together and celebrate moms. Hopefully you have plans, and if you do have plans, hopefully you have reservations. Because it is not easy on graduation weekend, is it, to get Mother's Day and graduation people out of the way and get into a restaurant. Most of us, I think, are probably just headed home. We'll do something there, right, until next weekend. So I just would like to acknowledge, though, and there's a reason behind the madness here of doing this in this order, but do we have anyone here who is a great-great-grandmother? So two greats. Anybody a great-great? Could you stand for us? You're not going to be the only one, I promise, but we're doing this in order because if you're a great-great-grandmother, I assume you're a great-grandmother and a grandmother and a mother as well. You'd have to be by definition, right? Anybody here, you can give her a hand for, we had one great-great-grandmother first service as well. Nope, you don't get to sit down, Vicky, sorry. If you're a great-grandmother, can you stand with her as well? Anybody here a great-grandmother? So just one great, but you're still great. Anybody here? Oh, thank you. Yeah, very good. Happy to have you here. Thanks, Barb. And then grandmothers, could you stand? Because I know there are several of you, and we want to acknowledge you as well. Thanks, grandmothers, for being here. And then, of course, finally, mothers. If you're a mother, I don't know why you keep sitting down. I'm going to call you out. You know I will. Mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, all of you standing at one time. Thank you so much. We want to celebrate you, praise the Lord for you today. I'd like all the other ladies to join them as well because you might be a potential mother in the future. You might be a motherly figure to someone, but we should have all of you standing really when we pray for you this morning. So if you don't mind, just stand where you are. All of you stay standing, and us guys who are seated are going to be praying for you in this moment. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for motherhood. And Father, we acknowledge this morning that some of us have complicated relationships to this feeling. Perhaps we've lost a mother and it brings us a bit of sadness this time of year. Perhaps our mothers were not very kind to us and we have difficulty in that this time of year. Perhaps we aspired to be mothers and couldn't be biologically, but you've allowed us to be in other people's lives. We thank you for that, Father, and we thank you, of course, for our generations of mothers who are standing here this morning. We thank you because we see in motherhood, Father, reflections of you and your care for us as your children. And so we thank you for each precious person and family who's represented here, Father, that you help them to be appreciated and thanked, certainly, today. But more than that, Father, help them to understand that they are fulfilling a godly role that you have given them in their journey in this life, and that you will continue to do that and supply all they need. We thank you for each of them and ask your hand of blessing to be on them in a very special way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Reminder, we do have that gift for you as you're going out today, so don't hesitate to grab one of those on your way out. And again, happy Mother's Day. I thought it would be nice, since we're in Mother's Day, to share a story in the beginning that, you know, any mother is going to love, I would think. Back in 2019, a five-year-old named Michael was finally adopted by his foster parents in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You know, all adoptions are special, of course, but what made this adoption unique was those who were with him. Michael's entire kindergarten class from wealthy elementary school piled into a bus with their teacher, Mrs. McKee, and took the field trip to the courthouse to attend that adoption in person. Michael's new parents had been married for 10 years with no children of their own and began to foster him that Thanksgiving. They say that they've been amazed by how quickly he has made so many friends, and you can see that in the photos there of the courtroom. For the first 4 years, think about that, for the first 4 years of Michael's life, his new parents and he didn't even know one another. They had never met each other until about a year before his adoption. And yet I'm sure that it will one day feel like they've really never been without children, and he's never been without a parent. That's how it's supposed to work, isn't it? And they'll celebrate that continually together. Some of you are living that kind of story. Some of you are fostering. Some of you have fostered. Some of you are adopting or have. Some of you have been adopted and grown up in adopted families. And adoption just is one of my favorite things to talk about because it's such a beautiful illustration for us of what happens for us when we are saved and commit our lives to Jesus Christ, isn't it? God often uses adoption-type language to help us to understand the relationship and describing that relationship that he wants with his children. In fact, Paul paints a picture of how God feels about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So if you have your Bible and you want to open up to a few of these references, they're always on the back of your bulletin, they're always on the screen, but great for you to find on your own device or in your own physical Bible. They do print those, by the way, still. I was kind of laughing to myself on Wednesday. We had our life group in our home, and I looked across the crowd and realized that nobody had a Bible because we all had the, me included, so I'm not condemning that, but we all had the app out and had the Bible app on it. So open that, if you don't mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in this little passage of Scripture, you'll notice that there's an indentation there in your own Bible. It doesn't represent very well on the screen, one verse at a time, but there's an indentation there because he's quoting some Old Testament Scripture. In fact, in this passage of Scripture, when Paul describes how God feels about his children, he cites no less than 6 Old Testament Scriptures that he's put all together in one long narrative. He's really, if he was a good preacher, which I assume he was, he'd be hammering this. This is a great passage of Scripture to reflect on. Starting in verse 16 there, about halfway through verse 16, he says this about God: I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst, meaning the world's midst. Go out from their midst, be separated from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, when God spoke these words, he spoke to the Israelites. This is Old Testament Scripture. So he's talking to the Jewish folks. He's talking to the Israelites that he made into a nation there. So he challenges them with a few things here. But the words that he used in the Old Testament, Paul gathers them together, and he helps us to understand how we, the church, who are mostly made of, at least in this place, I would think, non-Jewish people, non-Israelites, still fit into what God's plan is here, for what he's doing here. And that Paul saw God's plan as bigger than just the nation of Israel that we find in the Old Testament. Certainly are included in that if they follow him. But he says these things, he makes these promises, he says, I will make my dwelling among you, and I'll walk with you. I will be your God, and you'll be my people. Be separate from the world, right? Don't be going down the road that you learned before you came to Christ, but understand what the world is and be separate from them in your behavior. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You notice all of God's language there when he's making these promises, when he's talking about what he desires with his people. All of it's kind of future tense. I'm going to do this. I'm going about doing this, right? I'm intentionally headed down this path with you, and this is what I want from you, but this is what I have for you also in the future. And this is when he's talking to the Israelites, of course. And that must mean, then, if this is something that God is going to do or about to do, that they aren't there yet, because it's future tense, that they are not currently the children of God that he wants them to be, that they are not quite in the relationship that he plans for them. And that's in pretty stark contrast to what we find in the world that's around us, this world that we're living in. There's a sentiment in the world today that we live in that we're all children of God. You've heard that phrase, haven't you? And to a certain extent, we understand why that is, because if you believe in a deity, at least, we hope you believe in more than that, but if you believe in at least a deity who created all things, then we can believe that God created all humankind. And so, in a certain sense, we're all children of God. He has created us, but yet the way God describes it's a little bit different than that. And if we're not careful, this sentiment that we're all automatically God's children, it leads us to a false doctrine, a false belief system that suggests that we're all okay with God. And that in the end, he takes everybody home anyway, and we're all good with God just because we're humans. And that is decidedly not what the Bible teaches us. You've heard those, you know, sayings when we get together and at those moments. Well, she lived a good life and loved her family and did right by other people. And she's a child of God, so he'll take care of her and take her home. Well, I'm not suggesting that she can't be a child of God, but that's not what makes a person a child of God. We are all fallen. We are all guilty of sin. That's the picture that the Bible paints. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, "What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks," when he says Greeks, he means anybody who's not a Jew, "both Jews and Greeks are under" what? Sin. We think it's about, you know, being a decent person and you know, offsetting all the bad things we've done with good things. And if we are good enough, then we can balance that scale in our favor and we're good with God. We think that. But God says decidedly in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "None is righteous, no, not one." I know that's bleak. I know that's kind of not a very great thing to say on Mother's Day, is it? We're supposed to be cheerful today and happy. It's pretty dark, but until we understand that all of us are under condemnation for our sins, we cannot understand fully the glory of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We're like orphans, not because we don't have earthly parents, but because we don't have a God. We are estranged from him because of our sin, because of our disobedience. And, you know, we talk a lot, and we've used that phraseology here at Watermark. We talk about having other gods in God's place, and we sometimes put our career or a person or ourselves, you know, in place of God. And that, colloquially, I suppose, that can be true. But what Scripture actually teaches us is that there are no other gods. There is one deity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. He is God, and nothing else is. No one else is. So we cannot have another God, even though we try so often to put something on that throne of our hearts. Try to have something else there. It's never going to fit. It's never going to work because there are no other gods but God. They are all false gods. And when we are separated from our Creator God because of sin in our own lives, we are truly, are we not, spiritual orphans. We have no God. And yet, God's heart is to adopt us as his spiritual children. "And I will be a father to you," he says, "and you shall be sons to me," says the Lord Almighty. I don't know if you've ever witnessed a baptism here at Watermark, but they're a lot of fun. I enjoy baptism a lot. A lot of times during the summertime, we'll go out on the porch and have those because it's warm enough. During the off season, we have a little bit of mercy and bring it inside so it's warm enough to have baptism. But, you know, we intentionally have it after the service. And we do that for a couple of reasons. One is sometimes you're not expecting it and you don't want to stay the extra time. I get it. Sometimes you have somewhere you need to be. But it's a much more casual thing that way. It's much more a family-oriented thing at that point. And we get to come together and almost like that kindergarten class came together in the courtroom to witness the adoption of Michael. We come together and we witness somebody who decides to follow Christ into baptismal waters, it's a wonderful, it's a homecoming, isn't it? And we celebrate it because there's another son or daughter that's been adopted into family, God's family. And it ought to, when we see it, one of the reasons I enjoy going to it so much is because it should remind me of my own baptism. It should remind me of my own adoption. It should remind all of us that we're sons and daughters of the King. And it should even compel us, if we have to, we'll all cram into a school bus and cross town to go witness one of those because it's such a great celebration. I'm not suggesting we have to do that, I promise. It's not going to get that weird. Baptism may be a little different than what you're used to seeing, but we won't get that strange to you. But if we had to, would we? Of course we would. John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called what? Children of God." And that is what we are. This was his purpose all along. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure to do so." You know, God doesn't take pleasure in my sin, of course. God doesn't take pleasure in my disobedience that I've practiced, you know, my whole life, it seems like, even after coming to church. You know what? God doesn't even take pleasure in my obedience in the way that I think he does. I can't perform my way out of this for God. But God takes great pleasure in doing the work that only he can do to bring me into his family through Jesus Christ by making me his son, by making you his daughter, his son. It was his plan the whole time, from the beginning. And so Paul goes on to say in verse 6, "So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son." Amen? So what Paul is talking about here drives him to worship. But not worship the way I've practiced. I don't know how you've practiced worship during your life. I have had various stages of learning how to do this. For so many years, I approached worship the same way I approached prayer. And they're very similar, aren't they? Worship and prayer. This is conversation we have with God. When I was younger in the faith, prayer was all about two things. God, here is the long list of things I want you to do or give. And by the way, thanks for all the stuff you do and give, right? Maybe I acknowledge a few things that he's already answered for me. But think about it for just a minute. How many times am I driven to prayer because of what I want God to give or to do? Even if I don't pray regularly in between those moments, there comes a moment where I go, ooh, I better pray about this. Probably. Probably should have prayed before this too, but here we are, right? How many times do I praise God because of what he's done? Because of what he's given? Now, don't get me wrong. Scripture teaches us to ask God for the things we want. Scripture asks us to ask God to do the things we want him to do. Scripture tells us that we ought to be thankful for those things. And Scripture tells us that we ought to praise God for all that he's done. Nothing wrong with any of those things. What I am talking about this morning is if that's the only way that I pray, if that's the only way that I worship, then it tends to always be about me. You know, I want to follow you, Lord, but you have to take care of me. We make kind of deals with God, you know. If you do this, I promise I'll start going to church again. I know I laid off a little bit. You know, we've all been there. This is not a guilt trip moment, but we've all been there And we've all been in that situation where we're so desperate for God to intervene. And sometimes we figure out, we have to figure out the hard way that God wants more than a laundry list and a thank you list. He wants us in relationship. You know, I know this may shock you, but I do not know what it is like to be a mother. I know that's shocking. In this day and age, I suppose anybody can claim anything, but I'm not claiming it. I don't know what it's like to be a mom. I don't. But I do know what it's like to be a parent. And as my girls, I have three daughters, and as they grew to be older and they went out on their own and they found husbands and all of them are starting their own families now, you know, I don't need them to come back to me and say, you know, Dad, I just want to thank you so much for all those clothes you bought me when I was growing up. I had three daughters, and so there were a lot of clothes. I mean, maybe I want them to say that, but I don't need them to say that at all. That's not what I need at this stage in our relationship. Or to have them come back and say, you know, thanks so much, Dad, for all the rides you gave me, you know, to the games or to school or before I had a license, whatever it is that they're thanking me for in my life. But I do hope that they'll recognize as they get older and mature a little bit that even with my flaws, they might say, Dad, thanks for being who you were. Thanks for being a dad to us. That means a lot more to me now. Moms, I know you're going to get a lot of interesting gifts today. Maybe you had an interesting breakfast before you came. And it's all things that I'm sure you're very grateful for. But there's power in that, isn't there? For a child just saying, thank you, Mom, for being you. For being the mom that you are. And I, as a parent, would also be really thankful to have them appreciate what I tried to pour into them to make them who they are. Thank you, Dad, for helping me to be who I am. Thank you, Mom, for making me who I am. And as I've grown, I've seen prayer and praise not as a function or a checkbox, but it's an expression of my relationship with my Creator. And so it's no longer just, God, here's what I want, and God, thank you for all that you gave me, but it's, God, thank you for who you are. You are a good God. You are. And that's all I need to say in this moment. And thank you, God, for who you have made me to be in Christ. I was desperate for that. I could not be that on my own. But you did it. Because of who God is, he didn't want me to be without him. And so God adopted me as his son and gave me an inheritance that I don't deserve and gave me a future with him. And none of that did I earn. We are sons and daughters of the Creator of the universe. Adopted into his family. And we aren't just given eternal life. We're given eternal life with him. That's the difference maker. It's a relationship that we look toward. Does that change the way you consider following Jesus? Does that change the way you look at your prayer life and how you go about prayer? Does that change the way you worship, whether it's here as we're gathered on a Sunday morning, or the way you live out your life in worship, which is what Scripture teaches us every moment, is worship. If it does change you, it's done exactly what he planned and wanted for you and wanted for me. You know, on a special day like Mother's Day, we want to remember, and we do remember, and thank our mothers for who they are and who they made us to be. That's precious for a parent. But let's also remember that life should never be the same for us when we learn that we are sons and daughters of the King. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for who you are. That alone is a prayer sufficient. But we go on because we know you're so loving towards us, Father. You've given us so much, and we appreciate all those things, all those blessings, all those ways in which you've intervened in our lives and provided what we need and answered prayers, Father. Even those times where we feel like maybe you haven't answered prayers like we wanted you to. But God, we praise you and thank you this morning in this moment, not for all of that, but just simply for who you are. And Father, as we turn our attention towards what we have, we ignore all the things of life and all the other things. Many of them are good things, Father, but we thank you for who you have made us to be in Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. And Father, we'd be lost without it. But we thank you for saving us. That is sufficient enough for us in this moment. And we know, Father, you're concerned about all the other areas of our lives. There isn't a request that we have that cannot be known or is inappropriate for you, Father. You want to hear it all, but we want to make sure that we praise you for who you are and thank you for who you've made us to be, first and foremost. We pray that you would allow that to change how we approach you and change how we live our lives, change how we look at our mothers on a special day like today, Father. We want to glorify you and praise you because of a relationship that you've extended to you to us as sons and daughters of the King. In Jesus' name we pray.